It's my great pleasure to welcome not one, but two people from the city of Palmer into the studio. Mayor Delana Johnson, welcome, Mayor. And, of course, City Manager, who's no longer new. He's old, Nate Wallace. Okay, so now, where do you want to start? There's so many things. I have a couple questions, but you probably have some things that are at the top of the list.
Well, it's a beautiful time to be in Palmer. I don't necessarily have anything off the top of my list. Questions always lead to good discussions. If the mayor has anything that you'd like to highlight.
Well, it's always good to know that the manager doesn't have anything at the top of his list, because that means things are running very, very well.
Well, that's good. I noticed coming up on Tuesday's agenda for the meeting that you have scheduled, the thing that grabbed my attention was the proposal to add some more LED lights. It looks like that's coming along. And I know back in the day, there was the first testing of LED lights, outdoor lighting, and apparently that has worked well, and you're continuing on with that whole process. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a great cost savings measure. I think there was some hesitancy on doing it initially because to perceive life expectancy of some of those lights. But what we've done so far has held up well. The lighting has been shown to be safe, as our previous incandescent lights were. And now it's just expanding what we've done before to all our lights.
Okay. So the first testing area was in sort of the south area of Palmer. Where do you know where these new? I think there were 84 lights that are going to be put in.
No, not. I don't know the specific details of which light heads are going to be done. I mean, at some point in time, the whole city will be on LEDs.
Okay.
But I can follow up with that with the next
go
around.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My concern was the cost, and we have it in our budget this time, and we do have it in our budget thanks to the council and the mayor for approving what we've asked for, and we're going to continue to move out and save money for the city.
That's right. You guys are all laid back and taking care of other business, and you're not heavily into budget discussions because the city of Palmer, as many listeners know, is on an annual basis. Meanwhile, over at the borough, they have begun their budget discussions, and of course, the legislature down in Juneau is in the midst of doing their stuff. Everybody looking toward finishing up May or sometime thereabouts, including the school district. So maybe that's a place to go. I spent 3 days down in Juneau to get some feel for where things are. And my impression is that this year is very different than years previous. Just the reporting that's coming out of that, the discussions with people down there, the suggestion is that the fiscal gap, this is 1, 2, and 3, the topmost issues. And there are other topics and other things being discussed, but how to go about and somehow take some action. And it appears that's the message coming from large groups, whether it's Rasmussen or other groups or individuals, is take a look at this and we need to do something. How do you think all of that will affect the city of Palmer? How's that for a simple question?
Well, I think obviously it's going to affect the city of Palmer. But one good thing is the city hasn't used monies out of the state for operating funds, per se. It's mostly capital. So our budget still is the same. We're not anticipating any change. We're looking forward to going down and just reminding the legislators that we're there. We're reminding them that we can't take on more of the retirement costs that they... What my biggest concern is in their budget discussions of trying to transfer more and more of the state's difficulties to municipal government. So while we don't anticipate probably bringing home funds, we're really looking to remind them that we're here when there are things that we need to advocate for, and also to make sure that they don't try to put more on us than we can bear.
Okay.
So we do have a job in front of us in Juneau this year.
I believe that is a very accurate way to to make that statement. Does the city anticipate any, as you're looking at, given that your budget is in place, this year I noticed today's paper, for example, there are travel restrictions that have been placed, increasing travel restrictions on state travel. Are there any areas that you're looking at this point as the budget year is rolling along, or is it pretty much business as usual?
Maintaining city services is business as usual. But as far as reviewing our budget and how we operate, because I'm new, that's something I'm doing anyway.
Just
to make sure the city's being cost-effective and efficient with its funds. Just because a state puts in those restrictions doesn't necessarily mean we will, because we don't have to travel as much. There are some travel that we'll have to do for make sure people have the certificates, and there's an opportunity for us to garner funds for a grant. Whatever the case may be, we'll look at it one by one, but to wholesale say we're going to replicate what the state does and what the borough does, no, but it's under review, and we do a mid-year review just by the nature of our budget process, because the borough and state are on different cycles, and then their decisions affect us mid-year, so we always have to be cognizant of our surroundings and those that affect our budget and our operations. But just in general, to get back to the first question, is because I'm new, that's part of my initial evaluation the first year, is to see how we expend our funds and how we account for them and control them.
So I have two sets of questions, that one involving water. Obviously, Flint, Michigan has burst out as a example of probably not how to do things well. And here within the borough, we have a recent description of events up in Talkeetna, a measurement of arsenic in water. And that raises always the question of water quality. And just before you came in today, Stephen from Arcos Brewery was in, and he spoke highly of the water that comes from the city of Palmer, pointing out the three wells, and he uses it. He's very dependent upon good quality water for his product. What is, in terms of testing of water, et cetera, just briefly, how's that done in the city of Palmer? How do we determine that we are not Flint, Michigan or Talkeetna?
Well, we're not Flint, Michigan or Talkeetna. One thing I will say is, I think it's now at 4 years ago, the council made the decision to remove the fluoride from the water in Palmer. So that has it was slightly controversial, but I think all in all, that's been really well received. That's one thing that we don't do, is we don't add that to the water now. But we've have a history of having a great water system.
Yeah, there's a lot that plays into Palmer's water. When you look at the surrounding area, our water comes from a completely different aquifer than Wasilla does.
Sure.
Talkeetna. So that's the first contributing piece, is our water source is different, and it is a quality water. As far as the Flint, Michigan issues they have, it's not the water contributed to their problems, but it was aging infrastructure. And if you look at what Palmer's done with its water system over the last few years, it's incredible. We've replaced almost all of our water lines. So we've nipped that potential crisis in the bud. As far as testing, our water's tested constantly. In one of the conversations we've had in Public Works just recently, it was because of Flint, because of Talkeetna. How can we assure the public that our water is safe and we don't have these issues? So it's, our website needs some work, but there are our annual water report is out there. Our daily monitoring for our sewer system, it's out there. It's just hard to find, and we'll work to get that done. But as a follow-on, the question I asked was, do we need to test for lead? Well, it just so happens that this year is our third-year period that we will be testing to see if our, to the end point where we can check and make sure that our houses, because that's the piece that the city doesn't control, is the water lines in the houses, in our homes, in our city. But able to test the water at endpoint to assure the residents we won't be checking every house. There are certain parts of the city that we will, areas that we will ask to test their water to see if the water is safe. But the arsenic piece, that's tested on a regular basis just because we know our neighbors have it. We do produce an annual report with all the results. So coming from another place, Jackson, Tennessee, that has very good water, that's made Pringles and Raisin Bran cereal and all that, water was a big concern of mine in a previous job, and just transferring that here, it's, you can rest assured that our water is safe, and it's tested on a regular basis.
It's safe, and also because we have good water and a different aquifer from the mid part of the the between Palmer and Wasilla, that's contributed quite a bit to the expansion of our water system and the desire to have Palmer's water further out to, like, the Matsu College and to Colony High School, because they are, you know, the beneficiaries of having the arsenic-free water that Palmer can produce.
Okay. So there's an aspect of the water thing that I've been fascinated with, and I've asked this question before, and I'm looking outside and seeing that it's one of those odd years. There's not snow cover. It's not been really that cold either, but very often I've noticed we've been asked to let a pencil-thin flow of water come out of a faucet, and I don't remember that happening this year, or did it happen and I missed it?
I don't recall it happening since I've been here, unless it was something that was announced before I got here in November. But
and that's usually done in order to ensure that there will be a flow, and that in some cases there won't be a freezing of some of the lines when they make that happen. I know that's been true in the past. And I guess I have not heard very much. I don't know whether the city has been involved in much in the way of freezing of lines, but because I know that sometimes in the past, with lack of snow cover and frost penetrating deeply, that can happen. But that doesn't seem to be something that I've noticed recently.
It hasn't bubbled up to my level. If it's happened, I mean, now that you've asked, I'm gonna go back and check.
Okay.
But it hasn't been something that I've been asked to address or been informed of.
So, okay.
This year, and I've heard about it happening in the past.
And it's my impression that even though it's winter, I mean, it's cold, it's below freezing out there. Mm-hmm. It's not like 0 degrees extended periods of time, and so perhaps that's been balanced. Lack of snow, but not that cold.
It could very well be.
So that leads to, of course, that other form of water called snow. I can tell that I have not used any snow removal equipment in recent memory.
Hasn't the city done a great job keeping the street clean the last several weeks?
Nate's hoping to make it through the first winter with no snow removal controversy whatsoever.
Well, and of course, that's been an issue at times, particularly in downtown here, when there's heavy snow, and the heavy snow that is awkward in coming down at odd times or continuing to come down and very difficult to remove because people come into town, put their vehicles along the sidewalk, and then you have to, and it's, but this year, everybody's happy. I haven't had to jump over a berm or anything like that, and maybe early on the season. So that implies that there'd be a little extra money in the snow removal budget there, is that?
There's potential, and that's one of those things with having the budget cycle that we have, is we have a snow period front and back.
Okay, there you go.
So had we been on a different budget cycle, yes, we probably would have had some money left over, but because we still have October, November, December in this budget year, we can kind of sit on that for a little bit longer.
It could be that next year begins very heavy snowfall.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But just on that same topic, is because, I mean, you and I had the discussion my very first time in here, we review, I mean, this is something we talk about at least once a month, but since there's no snow, is our equipment still ready to go out the door? Is everybody aware of their call-out procedures? Is the dispatch online to call the right public work folks? Because our police department is our eyes and ears when it's not the 8-to-5 portion of the day. So we rely on, I mean, it's not just public works, it's the whole city staff's involved. So we make sure that we're prepared for if something does come down, that we can react, not at 8 o'clock in the morning, but we can react at 2 or 3 in the morning and get a jump on it. So
okay.
We do review our procedures, even though there is snow, because it is that time of year. So something we keep our eye on.
Okay. Well, let's jump to another topic. Recently, I was having a conversation with former Mayor Ketchikan regarding Ketchikan's actions or pause in actions involving marijuana within the city of Ketchikan. I know that also in the news recently, in a fascinating description, the city of Nome has produced an interesting marijuana regulation. As I remember reading it, I have to go back and check for sure, but they're extending the ability for marijuana to be used, and they focused on the time between the first Iditarod musher's arrival in the city until the last musher arrived, and said that was a good time. They were extending the hours. I'm not sure. But bottom line, obviously, the city of Wasilla, city of Palmer, have taken a certain stand regarding commercial use of marijuana within the city limits. On the other hand, in Anchorage, we have all kinds of things being developed to allow commercial use. And as I last remember, Houston also seems to be in favor of use. And then, of course, we have the initiative to be on the ballot dealing with the borough. This feels like a very complicated quilt. I mean, I guess that's part of what I'd be wondering about is how does this work when there are different entities, cities, boroughs, state, et cetera, feds, all with different versions of what is or is not legal. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say this is something that kind of remains to be seen. I guess as part of the whole question of marijuana is how it's going to be implemented actually statewide as far as the laws, what the state's finally going to really come down with. And, you know, the biggest concern, I guess, that I have is if the initiative doesn't pass at the borough level, we are very small square footage in the city of Palmer, so it leaves us very much open to having no capability or no authority over anything that's right outside of our city limits but very close to our city center. So, but that's not really happened yet, so we don't know what it's going to look like. And it is complicated because the initiative said that it would be determined by local government to put in, you know, certain rules, which I think is good. I think it gives the community self-determination, but it does make it a little more difficult to figure out exactly what and where people can do their whatever business they want to do at.
Mm-hmm. It made even more complicated by the individual possession capability by someone who may possess marijuana within the confines of their home. My mind, and there have been a lot of questions asked and discussed about what is an open marijuana container?
And that's what the state is going to have to come up with. Yeah. I mean, that is one thing that we've talked about with our police officers is, yeah, what does that mean? Or can it be like the carry for alcohol in the trunk of the car or so such a far distance from the driver or so on and so forth? But those things really haven't been put in place yet, and that really, if you're going to regulate marijuana like alcohol, is something that the state probably should come up with to give us, at our guideline, you know, some guidelines at a local level. What my concern is, and I was concerned from the beginning for the city of Palmer, is that our police officers didn't end up beyond the front line of some kind of enforcement issue, because many, many of these laws that are, like you said, a complicated kind of patchwork are going to be determined at a court level and not at, you know, we can put these laws in place, but many of them will be challenged. And we did not want our police officers to be in a position of having to, you know, enforce something that would be challenged, that the city of Palmer would end up having, you know, we will be the ones on the front line and spending the most money to defend a state law that we didn't put in place. So I think it's a cautious approach is the best approach in the sense of how that enforcement looks and make sure to follow the state's laws on those issues, and we don't know that we have all those yet.
Okay, you're right. I believe it. We're still waiting for some finality from the state regulations and, of course, the borough. It just feels, of course, we have the other aspect, which is the under the table black market that has been going on for many years. So it's floating on a. I do not envy you the task, because the arguments, and recently I attended a borough assembly meeting where there are a lot of individuals, entrepreneurs, who are ready to legally dispense and deal with marijuana on a commercial basis, and they feel that this is what is appropriate, et cetera. So they're the mix of people involved here is extraordinary. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people to be involved at all levels and to work out something which has just been complicated. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for focusing on it. Now, I've asked a lot of questions here. We have a few minutes left. Are there other things that I have not touched upon that you want to make sure are mentioned today?
We just had an interesting observation yesterday from our airport, and we've got a lot of jewels in Palmer. We've got the golf course from City Assets. We've got the golf course. We've got our MTA event center. We've got the airport, our historic district. We've got a business district. I mean, it's just so much that we have in this town, and we've always talked about how we connect those things. So we have to have a program called the Fly-In Golf, where folks can fly in and walk over to the golf course and play golf. Well, last night we had a Cessna fly-in with two bicycles, two fat tire bikes. The crew got out, pulled their bikes out, but some of them so they could ride them around. They rode around town. I'm assuming they rode around town and wherever they may have been because they were in town for most of the day, or their plane was there for most of the day. Then at dusk, the crew came back to their aircraft, put their bicycles back in, and flew off. So just another piece that you just don't always see, that an attraction to Palmer. And the flight plan was back to Merrill. So it's not somebody from hundreds of miles away that's coming to Palmer with their airplane. They're coming in from local, and they're flying in and utilizing the great assets we have here. So that's just one of those things that we can get the word out even more. It's what a great place
flying
the airport
bike.
Is. Yeah, flying bike.
Flying bike. You got that right. And, of course, a little bit earlier today, David Cheesham called in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He rides into Palmer from Walby Lake, and he's been doing that through the winter. And the discussion that we had was about how great that was, the bike path all along the way with the new Bogard Road extension. And that's my impression. You're pointing to the destination quality of Palmer for riding. Coming in, there's certainly surrounding nice areas to ride, but Palmer is a nice place to bring your bike.
It is.
A great example.
Such a jumping off point. I mean, you can go across the river towards Butte, you can go towards Sutton, you can go out towards, I mean, you can almost bike all the way to Willow now.
Okay.
Yeah, what a great place.
I think our trail system is something that I know that Nate and I have been talking about just recently, trying to continue, and it's not something that's been ongoing, but to continue making that ability to be walkable, to be to ride, however those connections can be, because Palmer really is a center point that we need to make sure that people can get from one side to the other, and because it's so many trails just lead up to Palmer, so it's this idea of getting people around and through Palmer. I think we'll really be continuing to focus on that.
Okay. Well, I have one other question. I know that many listeners...
I thought you were done.
No. as you were talking, and I was thinking about the bike trails, I was thinking about the trail going off on the Palmer Wasilla Highway, and, of course, just to the right there, big empty space where there used to be a large store. So, Fred Meyer's, what's up with that? Are they going to start construction? What's the story? Do we have any update?
Well, I can't speak for Fred Meyer's.
Sure.
But all indications are it's moving forward. The state fire marshal has approved. That was the last piece. We reviewed their plans and gave it the stamp of approval. The state fire marshal will still remain to give their stamp, and they have. Our understanding is that Fred Meyer's is moving out with a request for proposal for construction sometime this month.
Oh, wonderful.
So, I mean, that's the next step. They've got all their permits in place. So it's moving forward.
Yeah, one of the things that I had, you know, there's been discussion, is Fred Meyer coming, is it not coming? And until they actually put money out, it was one of those things I wondered about. But they had to put a significant amount of money down to get their approval for all their plans. I can't remember exactly how much that is, but it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so they have paid that, and so they're actually putting money into the project. That's a good sign. And so there's no reason to think there would be anything different than construction.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't have any more questions. So, Dan, any last comments before we finish up?
No, again, I gave a presentation yesterday and told them that'd be the last time you'd probably hear the new city manager. I've been here long enough and
that's right.
Seen folks. So I am the city manager. I've accepted that role and fully bear that title, and the responsibility comes with it.
Okay.
Well, and I'm just really delighted to have our new city manager just now become our old part of the team city manager, and I'm just delighted to have Nate here to work with.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mayor and Manager, for coming in this morning or inside the city and sharing some of the things that are happening or about to happen in the city of Palmer.